You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello, and welcome to the Civic Media Spotlight. To kick us off, we have Matt Nair on air. Robert Pilot, the host of Native Roots Radio on Civic Media, was Jane and Greg's guest on Wednesday and discussed what the closure of the corporate for public broadcasting would mean specifically for tribal stations. They discussed the massive cuts that will affect WOJB, the state's only tribal station, but it's something that's been happening to Native folks for a very, very long time.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots coming up this hour. Last half hour of the show, we will lighten it up as we always do with audio sorbet. Chance to get away from the news, clean our brains a little bit.
Audio sorbet. We clean your ears with fun.
There you go. Today's groundbreaking discussion will be sweet pickles versus dill pickles. I started a war yesterday. I didn't realize this was such a hot topic, but sweet versus dill pickles, that's audio sorbet after 10:30. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Sleeping Beauty edition. Stay tuned for that. Right now, we are delighted to be joined by Robert Pilot. He is the host of Native Roots Radio and has one of the best voices on the planet. In fact, I'm going to be sending you my refrigerator manual, Robert, so you can record it, and then I can play it at night when I'm trying to fall asleep. Robert Pilot is here. Good morning, Robert.
Easy. Hey, thanks for having me on. That was awesome. Really glad to be here and talk about some things. And I just got to give a quick shout out to Civic Media for really amplifying Native Roots Radio all over Wisconsin, too. So just want to give a shout out to Civic Media right away before I forget, because I have a good memory, but it's short.
Hey, I'm with you on that. By the way, Native Roots Radio airs across the network from 8 to 9 weeknights here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Fantastic show. Robert is the host. Again, Native Roots Radio here across the network weeknights from 8 to 9 on Civic Media. Robert, one of the reasons why we wanted to talk to you was about the recent decision of to cut the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That helps pay for PBS, NPR, 1,500 local radio and TV stations, of course, programs like Sesame Street and so many more. And public radio has really been critically important for our Native populations for a long time, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we do, Native Roots Radio does the best of on WOJB in Hayward. And 45% of their budget has been cut. And that's a 100,000-watt station that covers three different states. And so that's significant, you know. And, you know, just in Wisconsin, other than tribal stations, there's been, you know, 40 stations will be affected in Wisconsin and over two dozen in Minnesota. And I know specifically for me, I do a show. I'm on 5 days a week, and I do a show once a month called Little Moments Count, and we bring in experts about, you know, how to raise your kids and talk to your kids from, you know, age zero to 7 years old, and that's funded by NPR here. They pay for that when they come on Native Roots Radio, and so it affects me to a degree, but it's also, it's frightening to see our partners out there and people speaking the truth be cut like this. And it's just, you know, half the game plan, or I think I heard three quarters of the game plan of 2025 is completed now. So yeah. We are Definitely China right now, and we're heading towards Russia. So we need to be careful. And the one thing I always like to talk about on Native Roots Radio, too, is not only solutions and how we're taking care of ourselves and calls to action, but also that Native Americans are used to this. This is nothing new to us, and not that surprising. But also, you know, when we try to, my tribe specifically, Ho-Chunk Nation, I was a legislator for 4 years for Ho-Chunk Nation. And the week after Trump took over, we lost something like $8 million, and we had to lay off 80 people. And the healthcare system. And so it affects everything, even though we want to say it doesn't, but it does.
Well, and that's something, Robert, that for me, I kind of put it out there into the world on social media. And I know, first mistake, is to say, justify this for me. Tell me why cutting this funding is fiscally responsible / making America great again, if you will. And someone came back at me to say, well, it's because of their model. They weren't making money, and they didn't adopt platforms like online and all these fiscal excuses. But when I looked it up myself, Donald Trump has flatly come out and said that PBS, you know, where Mr. Rogers lives, and NPR are liberal woke bastions of indoctrination. So this isn't about a business model or about finance. This is about, as you just mentioned, messages that can be perceived as a threat to power and to a threat to, quote, their version of America. So I don't think it's about finance. It's about silencing voices.
Well, that's true. They wouldn't be sending troops to Washington or L.A. They'd be sending them to Tennessee and to these places where crime has gone up. So it's all about attacking the blue states and people that don't feel the same the way the president does. So it's just it's an attack. One of the things, Jane and Greg, I'd like to ask you as an interviewer, I was a big Bernie guy, mm-hmm. I wonder how he's getting all these things done where our Democratic relatives couldn't seem to get anything done. So how is he getting all this done? And so that makes me pause too. And again, you know, there's an old saying with the Native Americans is, you know, the left wing and the right wing are from the same bird. And so that's what we've been dealing with for 500 years here as Native Americans. But we cannot run now on one issue. I mean, vote. We cannot vote on one issue. And I think that's what happened the last time around, is that people were talking about Gaza and things like that, where, no, look what's happening right now. You know, the first presidency that Trump had, he was recorded, I think, 65,000 lies in 4 years.
Yeah, he was busy.
Let's just recognize the talent, okay, of lying at that kind of velocity.
Really quite something, actually.
But,
well, it's amazing, too, because all his followers now appeared to be doing that, too. Mm. And I remember there was a hat that came out when he was first elected that said, make racists afraid again. Well, they're not. They're with the mainstream media and, they're getting the thumbs up to do whatever they want. And that's really the most disappointing thing for me. And that's why shows like yours, ours, and being on civic media is so important, is because spit out the, you know, there's five companies that own 95% of the airs, and we know who owns civic media, and we know who owns AM 950. You're talking to the people that do that, and so it's frightening times, but it's important that Jane and Greg and Robert do not give up.
We got to keep talking about it. I mean, it is about making sure that the accurate information is out there. And I for my estimation, Democrats ceded a lot of territory for a really long time. And at least in the case of AM radio, allowed the right wing to dominate AM radio for decades and decades. And so for many areas, especially in rural communities, that became the only source for information. And civic media's goal is to provide accurate information for people who might not be getting it otherwise. And I think PBS was the same thing. They reported facts. Facts don't care about your feelings. Who did we hear that from so many times over and over again? By the way, if you're just joining us, Robert Pilot is our guest. He's the host of Native Roots Radio, which airs across the network Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 p.m.
And I think, Robert, what you're saying now is so interesting because we just spoke to Andrew Watkins on the topic of white Christian nationalism making its way into the mainstream of our government, our halls of power, whether it's TV, radio, government, all those things. And everything you are talking about connects to the conversation there. You talk about the fact that Native folks have been getting this sort of treatment for so long. And now people who would agree with the uplift of Native folks, tribes, the issues that you face on a daily basis are now sitting here going, how can they do that to us? Well, now Native folks saying, yeah, they've been doing to it for a long time. Where were you this whole time? And also the question of Democrats versus Republicans, that is such a huge question to ask. And I think for me, the immediate not an answer, but something that provides maybe some context of the conversation is I feel like Democrats underestimated so many things for so long. And I think with regard to what you said, Jane, is for decades, AM radio was the place for this information. We counted that as the fringe. We counted that those individuals as, well, they're saying crazy things. That's too crazy. That's not America.
Not
and,
fringe.
And as Andra said in the previous hour, this is not fringe. This is mainstream. That's who is in charge now because they were listening to these people for five decades.
I don't know how I could do this. I'm 64 years old, so my South Park era was, 20 years ago, really enjoying it. But now, how are they the only media out there that's taking care of really what we need to talk about? It's crazy. CBS bowed down. And again, mainstream media is normalized all this and is saying it's okay to be racist again.
Well, and the reckoning is going to be coming. Again, it's this, well, they're not going to touch me. I did what he asked. Mm-hmm. We did what the president wanted. We did the thing, whatever the thing was. So therefore, we're going to be safe. That's not how it works.
Right.
That's not how it works.
I don't know any billionaires. And
we hang out with the wrong people, Robert. We're not hanging out with the right people.
Everybody's fair game now. So they don't know that, it's just crazy. I have a sister-in-law who's a teacher in New York. And guess who she voted for? Are you kidding me? In New York City, where it's a melting pot of people, you're voting against your own interests, your own students. It's just an amazing thing that's happened.
What is her justification, Robert? What does she say?
Well, let me tell you this. this is what drives my wife crazy because she's a New Yorker too. And about her sister, and hopefully her sister's not listening, but probably not. She's listening to Fox. Is she wanted to? How did she put that? She wanted to, support her husband. Her husband's a raving Republican. So
she's going to vote he does.
Yeah. Hello, 1955.
What were we just talking about last hour? I'm not kidding you, Robert. Your conversation, the discussion we're having right now is like a part two to what we were talking about with Andrew Watkins. This idea of the woman's vote reflects her husband because, well, he's my husband. And that when you say that line says, he's the head of the house and he is the one in charge and he knows better.
We're going to continue our conversation with Robert Pilot on the other side. He's the host of Native Roots Radio. Keep it right here. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hello, and welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. We have the Chat Home Show. In the WXCO drop-in for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, Chad Holmes discusses the appointment of conservative Fond du Lac District Attorney and 2022 GOP nominee for Attorney General Eric Toney as special prosecutor in the Wausau Mayor Doug Diney ballot Dropbox case. Check it out.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 7:53, currently 70 degrees under plenty of sunshine here on this Friday morning. We are in the middle of August. Yep. Midway through August, the 15th day, as this month and this year just keeps flying right on by. But one thing that is not flying right on by is the Dropbox case. It just seems,
like the longer we wait, the less significance it has.
It just drags on and on, but we had some news yesterday as there was an announcement that there will be a special prosecutor in the State Department of Justice investigation into the 2024 removal of the ballot drop box from outside of Wausau City Hall. Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney will serve as the special prosecutor. Okay. Eric Toney. I say that because...
Heard of him?
We have heard of him.
Okay.
He is a Republican who ran in the last election for Attorney General of Wisconsin.
I see.
I got a question. I'm going to throw it out there for folks. Not just in this case, but generally. Why is it that when we have special prosecutors, whether in Washington, whether in Wisconsin, that when a Republican is being investigated, they get a Republican special prosecutor, and when a Democrat is being investigated, there is a Republican special prosecutor.
It does seem odd.
If you go back to Bill Clinton, you go back to other Democratic politicians, there always seems to be the Ken Starrs of the world, Republicans. And here, it's a guy who is a partisan Republican. Okay. He was the Republican candidate for state attorney general in the 2022 election. He lost a close election to Josh Call, the incumbent, 50.6% to 49.3%. But Doug Diney must be thrilled to have a partisan Republican named as the special prosecutor in this case. So this idea that maybe, oh, hey, this is somehow moving forward. No. This isn't really. We're looking for equal justice under law. And I'm not sure how this is going to be equal justice under law. I don't get it. I don't. Yeah. If you're going to name a special prosecutor, you don't. you named the number one Republican district attorney in Wisconsin. That is not fair.
No,
that is not fair to the people of Wausau. That is not fair in this case.
Why don't you make a candidate for the lawyer instead of having just one side or the other? Why don't you have someone who can meet in the middle?
How this occurred is that the Marathon County District Attorney, Kyle Mayo, said he requested the appointment to avoid conflicts of interest and ensure transparency. What will happen now is Eric Toney will review the Wisconsin Division of Criminal Investigations findings, determine whether further inquiry is needed, and decide on any potential action. This has been a situation that just keeps dragging and dragging and dragging. Again, it was on September the 22nd of 2024. So we're coming up on almost 11 full months when Mayor Doug Diney moved a locked absentee ballot drop box from outside the city hall inside his office.
He dressed up in a hard hat and one of those safety vests, and he got a dolly and he brought the drop box inside.
He cited security concerns, lots of outrage from folks who said that he was not supposed to do that. It was told to him that he was not able to do that. But the continuing investigations on something that seems, again, there may be things that I don't know, I'm sure there are things I don't know. But there seems to be a lot that was right out there. Either he was able to do it or he was not able to do it. He was told multiple times that, no, you are not able to remove the Dropbox. And yet he didn't. Tony, in some comments after being named the special prosecutor, said anyone named in the investigative materials is presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. So, yes, well, that's true, but it certainly lays the foundation that we're going to get where this is going to end up. Yeah. The DOJ investigation is ongoing. No additional details have been released. So, again, we're coming up on 11 months into this. So now we have a new attorney that is looking into it. Again, Eric Toney. And again, I just find it odd, interesting, and not all that, that does not fill me with great confidence that ultimately we're going to get to a decision that I think is fair. And that's what we want. I mean, let's get to a decision that is fair. Let the mayor go back to, you know, doing his job. Let the folks here go back to focusing on a lot of the issues that need to be handled here in our community. But I just find the idea that you're going to name the Republican candidate for state attorney general in the last election, now the special prosecutor, to try and get to the bottom of this Dropbox issue involving the mayor of Wausau, who basically has run in office as a conservative Republican, does not seem, and again, I just find the irony that consistently we get special prosecutors or special investigators that always seem to be Republicans. We very rarely see a Democratic special prosecutor. It just seems to be odd in my humble opinion.
Very odd.
Coming up at 8:22, we will be talking some Wisconsin sports with Paul Micklick. Coming up next, top of the hour news update, and then more with Pat Kreitlow on this Friday morning. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
We now move on to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Spotlight. Guests John Mikowski and Sarah Ashworth, directors of PBS Wisconsin and WPR respectively, joins the Todd Alba Show to talk about how the defunding of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting will be devastating to the services they provide. Todd also asked them what specific things these cuts will
Welcome
impact.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show across Wisconsin, the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on a Thursday, August 14th. For those of us of a certain age, even as a jazzy version, nicely done, Zomers, Johnny Costa played Won't You Be My Neighbor, the theme song to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on PBS. Wonderful program, taught us all so very much, for those of us, like I say, of a certain age. And now programs like that may well be an endangered species. We had covered it last week, the announcement that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting will, for all intent and purposes, cease their operations in September, maybe a few staffers lingering into the next calendar year. And not just that, but the Trump administration and the Republicans in Congress through the rescission bill are going to be clawing back a little over $1 billion from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting that was already passed and signed into law by a previous Congress and a previous president. I know our friend Jane Matinair, Matinair on Air, had our friend Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio that plays out on this network, how it might affect Native Radio as well, because that's part of public broadcasting. But right now we are joined, being honored to be joined by two guests for the rest of this half hour. Our first guest, Sarah Ashworth, is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. And our second guest is the director of PBS Wisconsin. For those of us, again, of a certain age, grew up with Wisconsin Public Television, but now goes by PBS Wisconsin, John Mikowski. Sarah and John, thank you both very much for joining us via StreamYard today, and welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
It's our honor, as we like to do for people who first appear on the program. Start with Sarah, then go to John. Tell us just a little bit about yourselves, where you grew up, and how you ended up in this field of broadcasting.
Oh, sure. Hi, everyone. I grew up in Minnesota, actually, across the river in Minnesota. I've been in Wisconsin now for 2 years. I have a lot of family who is in Wisconsin. Wisconsin was a state we would visit when I was a kid. And WPR was a station I knew about for the last few decades. It's just one of those stations that has been around for 108 years. People across public media talk about it as Wisconsin has something special going on there. And so it was a station I always paid attention to. I came up working in newsrooms. So I was a reporter, I was a news director, I was an editor, I was a producer on a talk show, a couple of different talk shows, actually, and then moved into management. And I was at Vermont Public right before this. But I've worked at 5 different stations in the Midwest and New England area predominantly. But I'm really happy to be what I consider home in the upper Midwest now and at WPR.
Very good. I appreciate it, Sarah. John?
Well, I grew up in Stevens Point and had the delusion, I think, that if I came to school in Madison, I might discover, you know, a career or something like that. It turns out I did. And that was while I was in school. I started volunteering at then WHA-TV, then later Wisconsin Public Television, now PBS Wisconsin, and started volunteering and then had a part-time job. My career has been in fundraising, including 4 years at WGBY in Springfield, Massachusetts, which was a great experience, being the sister station to WGBH in Boston. I'd say the focus and things that I'd talk about in my career has been really the Wisconsin focus that we have, identified as a focus of our work at PBS Wisconsin. So projects like our veterans projects, our World War II, Korea, Vietnam veterans programs, and community engagement, projects like Hometown Stories are something that's coming up right around the corner, Quilt Show. That was an idea that Nancy Zeman created for our friend who has passed, but that lives on, and is really involved with Nancy and a few other people building that as well. So those are kind of some of the highlights of my work over those years.
When I think of now PBS Wisconsin and also Wisconsin Public Radio, I think of my childhood, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and Sesame Street, certainly. Also, I'm back in the day in public schools in Wisconsin where they would roll in the television on a cart and turn it to PBS, and there'd be, you know, like social studies programs on there. That was part of the learning back in the day. When I think of Wisconsin Public Radio, I think of working on, high school and college painting sets for musicals, and it would be tuned to, WHHI Highland, and that would be the background music that you listen to, and I'm a huge Garrison Keillor fan. So these are things that are foundational to me growing up, but I know I share that with a lot of Wisconsinites. Let's just have a roundtable discussion, John, then Sarah. Just, I mentioned this at the top of the segment, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, for all intents and purposes, gone after next month. How is that going to impact, for those of us around Wisconsin who are concerned about your two institutions, what is your first knee-jerk take? How is these cuts to a Corporation for Public Broadcasting going to affect PBS Wisconsin, John?
Well, I'll describe my two major concerns. And one is that federal funding has been core to the innovation and creation of children's programming. Daniel Tiger is this amazing, continuation of Fred Rogers' legacy. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter. You take whatever kind of almost any issue she's dealing with, we know that show has a show about that. We know from her and we know from other parents that show really helps children manage their emotions, find solutions, and things like that. So that main driver of that investment that prepares children for school, we have what I've heard described as a reading crisis in this country. It's just a little frustrating to think that this proven service that is tested and is designed to for kids to learn and succeed and be prepared for school, that has so sort of lately kind of been defunded. Now, there are some effort to refund that, but that's one thing that I would say is a priority. And then our next thing across the country, and I know you asked about PBS Wisconsin, but the next thing that I would say is rural service. If folks understand like what you had mentioned, tribal radio stations, especially if you look at places like Alaska, those radio stations are literally a lifeline for people. So that bringing news and information to rural areas, and certainly Wisconsin is included in that. So that is one of the key things that federal funding was designed, was to see that this was a universal service. One of the consequences is for larger organizations like ours is if those rural stations can't survive this cut, that means the dollars that they bring in through their community then are not shared with the system. So not only do we lose the federal funding, we start to lose partners who share the dollars that we put into national programming. So to me, those are the two critical things, but there's a number of other things. But those are two things that are, to me, the most concerning things.
We're discussing the cuts to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting in Washington, D.C., and how it will affect broadcasting, public broadcasting in particular in Wisconsin. Our guests are John Muskowski, PBS Wisconsin, and Sarah Ashworth, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Sarah, same question to you. Looking at what the cuts in D.C., how is this going to impact Wisconsin Public Radio directly?
Yeah, and what John said, you know, we are so closely connected, WPR and PBS Wisconsin. We work together in so many ways. We look at our budgets together. So this impact affects both of us greatly. There's a significant impact on WPR and PBS Wisconsin and the other stations in the state who receive CPB funding. What John said around rural access, you know, the CPB money helped ensure equitable access to everyone across the country, no matter your circumstance, no matter what you can pay for, no matter where you are in the country. CPB helped make sure that public media reached you. And that could have been through a program like Daniel Tiger. It could have been through the news service that's offered through NPR or from your local station. I think the statistic is somewhere like 98 to 99% of Americans can access public media. CPB ensured that was the case. So I think we don't know fully the impact of what that access may look like going forward, because it's those smaller remote areas that are far harder to get the broadcast infrastructure to support reliably over time. The donor base who can support stations in rural areas is just naturally smaller than in larger metropolitan areas. So the sustainability for those stations. So the impact is great across the country. And then here in Wisconsin, you know, to put numbers to it, for PBS Wisconsin and WPR, and again, we are services of UW-Madison and the Educational Communications Board. So we look at our budgets across the entire partnership we have that it takes to put public media out statewide in Wisconsin. It's about 10.4% of our budget, and that's about $6 million. So we're now starting to plan for what we look like, how we sustain ourselves with that loss in public funding. And I think that private-public partnership, there's a lot of pride in that we work together to sustain this service. Lots of people contribute to make WPR and PBS Wisconsin what they've been.
So I'll put it in Todd terms. The federal funding, basically, from Corporation of Public Broadcasting, roughly you're saying 6%. Is that basically for both PBS Wisconsin and WPR?
No, across.
It's slightly in excess of 10%.
10%. All right.
And it's about $6 million.
Got it. Sorry, I mean, my numbers flipped around.
$6 million. That is very significant. Yes. I mean, and I think any business can think about what $6 million means. It's a significant. Right.
And I think as we had some people email in, knew you guys were coming on. So I think one of the questions in Wisconsinites' minds is, all right, so you're an entity, basically you're a subsidiary or a part of UW-Madison. So the crises, if I could use that word, maybe not too melodramatic, at both PBS Wisconsin and WPR, is it caused by predominantly the Republican-controlled legislature not funding the university system well enough, which those monies get put into your two entities? Is it the fact that the federal funds are drying up, or is it the fact that not enough people are giving during the pledge drives, or a combination of all of that?
It's not a combination of all of that. The legislature in Wisconsin and the university have been very supportive of public broadcasting. That has continued this year. Certainly that was, you know, that is something we need to prove year after year, just like our federal funding. Community support for radio and TV are both up. And so that has been that has been encouraging and looking really good. It is the federal funding that has created this financial situation.
And our state funding has gone through in the coming budget, and the state funding goes through the Educational Communications Board that supports the broadcast infrastructure in the state, the emergency alert systems that we have. It does not go toward the programming on WPR PBS Wisconsin.
I think, and we got about a minute and a half here. We can pick it up on the other side. But Sarah, for WPR, some of the frustration I think from listeners was that we're already. Okay, I'm sorry. See, this is why you gotta have a good producer.
We're 30 seconds.
We'll come back. We'll ask on the other side a couple of tougher questions, maybe why some of these cuts were made before the cuts to the federal level and what that means for listeners across Wisconsin. We're talking public broadcasting of the All Ball Show along with Mr. Rogers and Aaron Zomers on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We're finishing the first hour of the Civic Media Spotlight with the Todd Alba Show. Todd Alba continues his conversation with John Miskowski and Sarah Ashworth with some tough questions from listeners about why WPR ended some of their most popular shows before these cuts were announced.
I could listen to this music all day long. I'm a huge jazz guy. And jazz caught on the square last night, Zomers. I went up after work. They're playing jazz outside. Perfect night for that. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little jazzy version of Mr. Rogers. 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. A check of weather. Mike Clemens with a sports update. See how Jordan Love is doing after that thumb surgery. And then hour number two, a little what's worse for you, car colors. In the goofy and nonsensical in hour two. Right now, very serious. We are serious to a lot of us across Wisconsin. We appreciate our two guests this hour, half hour, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, Sarah Ashworth, and the director of PBS Wisconsin, John Miskowski, joining us via StreamYard. Sarah, I want to pick back up with you. Certainly these changes disturbing to people like me in Washington, D.C., these cuts. But I think for a lot of listeners across Wisconsin, there was some frustration, quite frankly. And you folks at Wisconsin Public Radio put out an announcement. Several shows, all things considered, Doctors Overpass. There were a lot of cuts to a lot of favorite programs and personalities before these federal cuts were announced. And so I think the question for a lot of people was this proactive? Were there problems inside of WPR already? Or was it a lack of state funding? Why all these cuts? Because it's really disturbing for a lot of people to lose those local Wisconsin programs and personalities.
Yeah, no, I understand that question. And to have four programs end at one time since COVID. So I've been at WPR for 2 years, moving here 2 years ago. It was around COVID, though, that listener patterns started to change. You know, your commute wasn't there in the same way for most people. And so we saw changes in audience, in listener habits, how people were accessing information, what they wanted to listen to. And we saw declines in membership. We saw declines in audience, not immediately, because there was a lot of vital information that public radio was distributing and audiences were high. But in the last few years, we did not see a rebound back to where we had been. And so since COVID, WPR was operating with a budget deficit and it was not improving. And we were using reserves that we had built up over time and with a lot of donor support and member support in order to have those reserves. But we were using those for the last 5 years or so and recognized that we couldn't continue to operate that way and that the threat around loss of CPB funding was real. And we have felt that threat for the better part of the last year and known that it was something we want to be prepared to weather. And so in June, we announced that we were ending four programs and making staff reductions, laying people off related to those shows, and then in a few other areas. To focus our service, we are prioritizing our service to Wisconsin and the programming and the stories that are about and with and for Wisconsin. That's what you will see WPR focus on in the coming years. And programs like To the Best of Our Knowledge are wonderful hallmarks of public radio. They've made an impact globally. They're well-produced, wonderful programs. A program like that was just something we financially could not support going forward.
Quick answer, if you would, please. Is it that we see this in our company and others as well, this online or podcasting or listening to it on demand. Mm-hmm. Is that something that Wisconsin Public Radio is looking at doing to improve listenership and those types of things?
Yeah. We definitely see, we have a daily podcast, a daily news podcast called Wisconsin Today. It's just a few minutes long each morning. You can listen to it and get caught up on statewide news. We launched a new email newsletter, also called Wisconsin Today, that you can sign up for at WPR.org. And that's another way we're putting stories out there. We are investing in the digital experience for Wisconsinites. Our website, we revamped in the last year. I know yes for a short answer. I could go on, but yes.
I'm against the clock, as you guys can understand. John, I want to get to this because, I mean, I think of Wisconsin Public Television, PBS Wisconsin now. I think of, you know, becoming or being Bucky, the story of Bucky Badger. That's something you're not going to get anyplace else. One of the questions is, why do we need public broadcasting when we have a million choices out there in the streamosphere? Your thoughts?
Well, I think I'll give you another example coming up, and Ken Burns' next epic is The American Revolution. During that week of that broadcasting, let me just repeat that. During that week of that broadcast and the online streams of this and the many ways that people will watch it, more people in that week will learn about the American Revolution than has ever happened in the history of this country. Okay, I feel like I need to repeat that. More people will learn about the American Revolution. We think that's important. In Wisconsin, we are going to be working with partners of libraries, museums, the Wisconsin Historical Society and the Veterans Museum are key partners who are providing materials and will convene conversations in communities across the state. Okay, so when I hear people say, we have YouTube, we don't need it anymore. I'm like, I have a four-year granddaughter. That is not true. I haven't seen YouTube in our communities. I haven't, you know, there's, it's wonderful. YouTube is a great way for us to get our content out to people. It has been very successful. But YouTube, Netflix are not local. They do not bring local news. They do not engage and use the tools of media. As we've done, you know, Todd, you know about our veteran service. We're the Vietnam veteran, a major effort in Wisconsin to capture those stories, to engage communities, and to have veterans be proud of their service and share their story. Netflix, YouTube, this wonderful service, there's great stuff there. None of that is replacing what public media means in Wisconsin and across the country.
About a month ago or so, I was just sitting at home and I was not feeling that great. And I turned on Wisconsin Public, PBS Wisconsin. This Wisconsin Lighthouse series is phenomenal. I mean, you're not going to find that anywhere else. And you learn history, and it's entertaining, and it's beautifully shot. You know, Jerry Apps, Meet You at the Fair, Wisconsin Hometown Story. I mean, these are things you're only going to find on Wisconsin Public Television, PBS Wisconsin. Sorry, I'm an old guy.
And let me add one thing, too. Is
30 seconds.
That is the equivalent for education in Wisconsin, too, around history and things. We are producing things for the classroom about Wisconsin that nobody else is.
Make your donation now to PBS Wisconsin. We'll throw in a free Just a Bit Outside movie night. I couldn't resist myself.
Thanks, John
Viscosky, Sarah Ashworth. We appreciate you so much.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.